Sabbath blessings, everyone. Can you all hear me okay? Praise the Lord. If you all can kneel, we're going to start with prayer. And please bow our hearts to the Godhead family. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful Sabbath day and each and every week that you've given us opportunity to keep your Sabbath day and to partake on this holy day. Thank you so much, first of all, for giving us the breath of life, for waking up each day, for giving us opportunity to repent. Please bridle my tongue and all the tongues that will speak on your behalf today, so your name is only be glorified today. Thank you so much for healing the sick, whether it be spiritual sickness or physical sickness. And thank you so much, Lord, for the gift of repentance. And please help us to have the desire to keep your commandments daily and to have a renewed spirit every day. Please bless all the prayer requests that are in the chat room and every unspoken prayer that the brethren have, only in accordance to your perfect will, for we are so unworthy. Please forgive us for our sins and cleanse us from all iniquities. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus Christ our King, we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Today is 23rd of March, 2024. The title of the sermon for today is Used by the Prophets. Each and every generation, the Lord has sent many prophets to send warnings to those who were in error and to give them chances to repent. The Lord also chose or have chosen different men in different generations as his vessels to proclaim the truth that the people did not know. All sins are offensive to him and have consequences to those that commit it. Reason why Satan and the third of the angels or the stars got kicked out of heaven. And for those who still try to discredit God's love and grace, do not understand the work of Christ at Calvary. The Lord sent out messengers to prophesy and to save them from eternal death. 44,000 denominations have their own different prophecies that do not even line up with the scripture. But we all know from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, it says here, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Being used by the words of the prophets that God gave them throughout different generations, all these 66 books of the Bible describe the perfect corrections and reproof to those who are disobedient in the old time until to this time, who continue to live in unrighteousness. We never want to interpret what the Bible verse say unless we actually check the meaning of it in other Bible verses. The word "yud" is described in strong concordance, H2672. It says here, "kauchab" or "kauchabe." It's to carve or to cut, to you or to split or to square, to engrave, curry, quarry, and to divide. It's like a mason doing it, like a carpenter. So one of the Pharisees was asking our King Jesus the greatest commandment in the law, and he answered him in Matthew chapter 22:37-39. Of Matthew chapter 22:37-40, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So this last verse, these are all powerful verses that the Lord shared to us, especially the last one, when he said here, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So why would the Christendom of today saying that the law is no more? We don't have to keep the Ten Commandments because Jesus died on a cross. If that is true, then they're making Jesus as a liar, because Jesus said here what he said. Because the Word of God only speaks truth. There's no lie in it. So keeping these two greatest commandments will expose the lies of the people who teach another Jesus. The Jews of old time rejected the prophets, and even Jesus himself they also have despised and crucified. The prophets of old, used by God to encourage them to keep God's law. But Satan used them to break God's law in attack to God's character, because keeping God's law is acknowledging the character of God. So Satan's main objective here, from the time he rebelled, is to overthrow the law of God. The reason why most Christians of today say the law is no longer valid. It's like saying they are Christians, but they can do whatever they want because Jesus died on the cross. And it doesn't work like that. And also, people are persecuting those who preach the truth. Psalm 101, verse 15. Psalm 105, verse 15 says, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. For refusing to be used by the prophets, they have despised the instruction of God by slaying the prophets, and worse yet, as we mentioned earlier, crucifying Christ by hanging him on the tree or on the cross. The Jews of old rejected Christ's truth in their time. Sunday keepers of today, or even those who keep the lunar Sabbath or other days as Sabbath, saying that Jesus is their Lord. Look what John chapter 8 verse 39 says here. John chapter 8 verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. So let us relate this in our time. So a lot of people are not saying Abraham being their father, but the point here is, many people, even the famous ones, say Jesus is their Lord, but refuse to take up their cross and follow Christ to lead them to righteousness. They still continue to be actors, athletes, which draw people away from Christ. I thought you were Christians. Christians draw people to Christ, not to draw them away. If the Isaiah chapter 4 verse 1 type says Jesus is their Lord, think of this verse. If they were Jesus' followers, they would do the works of Jesus as they claim him as their Lord. Did Jesus keep Sunday? No, he did not. Lunar Sabbath? No, he did not. But keeping the Sabbath that the Lord did not say to keep is doing the works of another Jesus. God's people who keep the 7-day Sabbath will be persecuted by those who claim to love Jesus. Remember when Christ was being accused of breaking the Sabbath by having in his disciples for plucking the corn because they wanted to eat? Or Christ healing the sick during the Sabbath day? They accuse of Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath, for breaking the Sabbath, which they broke each week for their traditions. So that's not a different scenario for today. God's people who echo in keeping the 7 day Sabbath as the Lord commanded them will be accused of breaking the Sabbath by not keeping their modern chosen Sabbath, which is Sunday. And what would the Lord say to those who keep another Sabbath or to those who do not obey God's law? John chapter 8 verse 41. John chapter 8 verse 41 says, Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. So we think about this verse again. I think it's in Malachi chapter 2. When he said there that have one Father. So, yes, we have one. We have Father in heaven, but if we don't keep his 7 day Sabbath, then we don't really acknowledge him as Father. If we keep his 7 day Sabbath, then we do acknowledge him as our Father. And his Son, Jesus Christ, our King, and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, our Comforter. So in other words, to keep another Sabbath is to do the deeds of another Father, a Father from beneath. Hence the reason why they also stoned Stephen as the result of closing their probation as only God's people. But now, everyone is welcome to embrace God's grace in Jesus. Many today say they believe in God, but never acknowledge Jesus as God. And even degrade the Holy Spirit. They degrade the Holy Spirit by saying it's only a breath. And how is the Holy Spirit going to help you to keep his law if you talk of him like that? And what happened to those people who knew the truth but refused to know the truth? For example, if we remember the appointment of Pastor Nicholas and Pastor Alvin were canceled due to the refusal of the people to keep or learn about the Sabbath truth. The tornado came to their town and destroyed that town. Maybe that was a wake-up call for them to learn the truth. And let's go to John chapter 9, verse 28 and 34. John chapter 9, verse 28 and 34. The blind man who was healed by, this is the blind man who was healed by Christ. Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple. We are Moses' disciple. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Pastor Nicholas shared last night about the Jews of old, the leaders being highly esteemed, or so-called teachers of the law. Now, this was from reading the SOP 2 last night, how prideful they are, like nobody can teach them except themselves, but yet they claim to be teachers of God's word. I was just paraphrasing. So when there will come a day when we try to preach a 7 day Sabbath to the people, and those who do not want to learn the 7 day Sabbath and keep another Sabbath that is famous in to the world, they will say, you know how the Jews said in this verse, they are Moses' disciples? If we echo this verse now, they will say, they are Jesus' disciples for keeping the Sabbath, for keeping the spurious Sabbath Sunday. And they will accuse us of not being Messiah's followers. So how about John chapter 9 verse 34? Does this verse echoes the attitude of the Jews in our old time? Have you ever preached the truth about the 7-day Sabbath and be called a fanatic? Sabbatarians? Oh, those holier than thou. Or, oh, you are building your stairway to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments to get saved. Or if someone might say to you, I went to Bible college, and are you teaching me? And you are teaching me this? These may be some questions that may arise when we preach the truth in the coming days. But it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Because of the obedience of the leaders in that day, and the Jews of old, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Hosea chapter 6, verse 5. Hosea chapter 6, verse 5. Therefore, I have viewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And thy judgment are as the light that goeth forth. This verse doesn't just go for the Jews, and now this verse goes for all of us. We all need to be used by the prophets, by the words that in the 66 books mentioned in the Word of God. They were spiritually slain, which is gonna be really bad for the Jews of old as former chosen people of God. But what will be great for all the race in the world, great benefit for those who embrace Jesus as salvation became open and free for everyone, not just for the Jews. And that's what happened for the old nation of Israel at that time, for refusing to be used by the prophets. The provision for the Jews of old, as chosen people, had closed on them after stoning Stephen, which is the end of the week of Daniel's prophecy. And this is what Stephen told them that made them stone him. Acts chapter 7, verse 51 and 52. Acts chapter 7, 51-52. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which shewed them before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now the betrayers have been now the betrayers and murderers. The pride and self-indulgence covered the entrance that they could not hear. Jesus was knocking on the door of their hearts. They did not realize that Jesus, our King, is using Stephen at that moment to open their hearts. But their heart is clogged up with the self-indulgences and pride. Matthew chapter 21, verse 19. says, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereof, but leaves only. And he said unto him, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Okay, Acts chapter 13, verse 46. Acts chapter 13, verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So the following link is remnantofgod.org/RAPT2.htm. It's on the chat room. If you guys would like to study that, if someone preached to you about 7-year trip or 6-year rapture, this is a good link to study in your own time. So for Matthew chapter 21, verse 19, the Lord Jesus was prophesying the end result of the 70 week. Romans chapter 10, verse 20 and 21. Romans chapter 10, verse 20 and 21. But Isaiah, or prophet Isaiah, is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked me, that ask not after me. But to Israel he saith, all the day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. So the problem is their pride and love of high positions have blinded their eyes and could not see their need of Jesus. The thorns in their hearts choked them up because of the cares of this world, not knowing its obedient child has a mansion prepared by the Lord, and to walk in the transparent street of gold. God's people's attention is obedience to God's law. Don't be surprised if one tells you that you've never gone to the Bible colleges or have no right to teach them about what Sabbath they should be keeping. So the Jews of old, they should have been used, they would have been ambassadors for Christ at that time to teach the nations around them. But that's not what they did. We as followers of Jesus are members of the church body, and each member should be chiseled away from worldliness. In Review and Herald, September 3, 1895, paragraph 3 says, we have been hewn as rough stones from the quarry of the world. Will he leave us with our rough edges? Leave us to practice close dealing and to manifest selfishness? Never. He brings us into his workshop to be hewed and squared, polished and finished for the heavenly building, for you are to be framed into a holy temple unto the Lord. When the truth is received, the rough character changes, and worldliness, selfishness, and pride are work out of the heart. The office of the Holy Spirit is to work the man. As we all see here, brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit has his own office. That means being the third person of the Godhead family. So this is the proof that it's not just a breath. Continuing. It is not our place to work the Holy Spirit. If we are ignorant when brought into the truth, we are not to remain so. Was Christ ignorant? He was the greatest teacher the world ever saw. He chose the unlearned fishermen to be his disciples in order that they might learn of him and become wise unto salvation. Why was it he did not choose the scribes and the Pharisees? It was because he could not trust them. He said of them, "In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Why is it that the Lord does not choose the learned and the popular today and work with the churches? It is because they follow the same course as did the scribes and the Pharisees. But the greatest teacher the world ever knew says to you, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I," in close here, "the Son of the infinite God, will give you rest." But there is something more. He continues, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is what most of the leaders of today are having a hard time with, or even maybe some of us. We're not picking on others, because we are all sinners. We all need Jesus. Whether you be Sabbath keepers or non-Sabbath keepers, we all need Christ. We are to take His yoke, and some of us maybe are having a hard time because of the things of the world, distractions, and especially the leaders who are preaching about wealth and prosperity. They have to give that up. They have to sacrifice all those to the Lord. So what is the yoke that Jesus, our Savior, mentioned here? In volume 3 of the Testimony for the Church, page 384, paragraph 2, says here, "Their hearts are so overgrown with thorns and with the cares of this life that heavenly things can find no place in them." Jesus invites the weary and heavy laden with promises of rest if they will come to Him. He invites them to exchange the galling yoke of selfishness and covetousness, which makes them slaves to mammon, for His yoke, which He declares is easy, and His burden, which is light. He says, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." He would have them lay aside the heavy burdens of worldly care and perplexity to take His yoke, which is self-denial and sacrifice to others. Have we all having a hard time practicing self-denial daily? Self-denial as in not watching the things we should not be watching, not speaking the things we should not be speaking, the way we treat our brothers and sisters, even around unbelievers. To continue, "This burden will prove to be light. Those who refuse to accept the relief which Christ offers them and continue to wear the galling yoke of selfishness, tasking their souls to the utmost in plans to accumulate money for selfish gratification." So this right here is so prevalent. Like every time you go to YouTube, "Oh, this is side hustles, how to make money, how to gain wealth." You make money while sitting around all day, passive income coming in. How about you talk about Pasig people coming in to know the truth. Use God's money into his cause. To continue. Have not experienced the peace and rest found in the bearing the yoke of Christ and lifting the burdens of self-denial and disinterested the benevolence which Christ has borne in their behalf. Another thing here is the tithe. There's a lot of people that have a lot of money and they don't tithe. The tithe is to acknowledge that the Lord gave them the 90%. All the 100% belongs to God. So giving the 90% back to the Lord is an acknowledgement that all that they have is from God. Many filthy lucre preachers of today have failed to lead the flock to obedience unto God because of their prosperity preachers, prosperity messages. It's more of an importance to them on how to gain wealth rather than keeping God's law to make it home. Oh, if you tithe to my church, you're gonna prosper. You're gonna prosper in your life. But they will never talk about how to get up from sin or how to keep God's law. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. If one go to the church and never speak about Christ, or they only speak about Christ but never speak about keeping God's law, then there is no light in them. Inside of it, there's no light. The Lord has sent messengers to you, the people, from their self-gratification and to chip away worldliness out of the heart. Our Lord and the Godhead family, they are not respecter of persons, because he reaches out to all, whether it be someone is having a character like of Moses or Pharaoh or John the Apostles or even Judas. It will be up to the person to allow God if he or she will have the Lord to do a heart surgery on them. When a doctor does the quadruple bypass on a patient to take away the best part of the heart so he can live, how much more when we allow Christ to do a spiritual surgery in our heart, to put the law in our hearts, that we may live. When we allow the Lord to hew us out, to become lively stones, all the members of the body of Christ will become lively stones, thoroughly polished unto all good works for his service. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. We are to be attached to the vine, Christ, the great teacher, to teach us how to reach out to the lost. But before we can do that, we have to do our part. The effort to study and seek the truth in His Word. The more we study His Word, the more we will be able to practice what we read. If we do not read daily, how are we going to practice something that we do not read? How is the Holy Spirit going to remind us something we do not read yesterday and today? How is He going to remind us tomorrow? The Pharisees of old did not seek Jesus to learn of His character and wisdom. The teachers of today, who preach another Jesus, have taught the Ten Commandments being no longer needed to be kept. But they are teachers. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 6, Paragraph 2 and 3. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 6, Paragraph, page 153, Paragraph 2 and 3 says, teaching means much more than many suppose. It requires great skill to make the truth understood. For this reason, every teacher should strive to have an increased knowledge of this spiritual truth. But he cannot gain this knowledge while divorcing himself from the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, do we divorce ourselves from the Word of God every other day? To continue, if he would have his powers and capabilities daily improve, he must study. He must eat and digest the Word and work in Christ's lines. The soul that is nourished by the bread of life will have every faculty vitalized by the Spirit of God. This is the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Teachers who will learn from the great teacher will realize the help of God, as did Daniel and his fellows, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They need to climb heavenward instead of remaining on the plain. Christian experience should be combined with all true education. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. This is from 1 Peter 2:5 again. Teachers and students should study this representation and see if they are of that class who, through the abundant grace given, are obtaining the experience that every child of God must have before he can enter the higher grade. In all their instruction, teachers should impart light from the throne of God, for education is a work the effect of which will be seen throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. So have you ever have any experience, brothers and sisters, when you're studying one Bible verse, you struggle on Bible verse? Like, there's one time I struggled on Bible verse so many times. Like, I'm trying to understand the Bible verse. Of course, we use the supernatural understanding and not ourselves. The Lord revealed it to another brother or sister. And that brother or sister might just email you without you asking a question. How did he know? How did she know that I'm struggling on this verse? And praise the Lord, because that will keep us humble. That will teach us humility, that sometimes when we learn things of our own, sometimes even if the Lord teaches things from the Bible, sometimes we may become puffed up of the things we learn. So by the Lord doing that, showing that to another church member, will keep that humility in ourselves. Like, oh, I'm not on my own. Can't do anything without him. So, brothers and sisters, to be slain with the words of his mouth is to slay the old man character, after we accepted him as Savior. Matthew chapter 21, verse 44. Matthew chapter 21, verse 44. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Those who accept Jesus are ready to have their hearts hewed and be renewed daily by the Holy Spirit. When we are broken and in need of help, the Lord is near to us. No one or no man can match the love of God in Christ Jesus, our King who died of a broken heart, as Pastor Nick mentioned earlier in the study. Jesus, our Savior, died of a broken heart. because our sins broke his heart. Our sins was heavy on his shoulder when he died. Yet, he is ready to rescue our broken hearts. Psalm chapter 34, verse 18. Psalm chapter 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that of our broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You see the love of Jesus here? He died of a broken heart, yet he will rescue the broken heart. Who broke his heart? We broke his heart because of our sins. Psalm chapter 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. No one can say later on, even in the second resurrection, they cannot say, they cannot accuse God or say, oh, you did not show us. You did not give us opportunity for this eternal life. No. God gave everything. God did everything he can possibly do now to reach you, to reach all of us. When Jesus returns the second time, the unrepentant hearts who refuse to be used by the prophets, by the words of the prophets that God gave them, will grind them to powder, as described in the book of Malachi. The Lord, our God, is patiently waiting for everyone to repent. But the time is at hand where he will put on his garment of vengeance to execute his righteous judgment against Satan and his angels and to those who chose to obey this wicked folk. Are you still practicing sin? Are you still doing the things that you're not supposed to be doing? Do not wait until Christ put on the garment of vengeance. Malachi chapter 4, verse 3, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be as ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. I hope and pray that we are all blessed by what the Lord shared to us this Sabbath day. God bless everyone. Happy Sabbath.
Men are dying without hope, without God in this sinful world. Who shall answer the solemn call, saying, here I am, Lord, send me. Work for the night will come. Work while there is a chance. It's better the truth, but then and my voice. Be ready for the coming of the Lord. There shall be famine and pestilences. There shall be earthquakes in the worst place. There shall be wars and rumors of wars. But do not be troubled, be strong.
Father, thank you so much, Lord, for giving us the word of truth and keeping us and guiding us today on this holy Sabbath day. Thank you so much, Lord, for bridling my tongue and those who are going to speak today on your behalf. Thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to have the time to spend time with you today and with the beloved brethren and, of course, the beloved God and family. Thank you so much, Lord, and please bless our hearts with the truth and help us to be healed by the truth. Only comes from your word. Please take over our hearts, Lord, because we cannot keep it clean. Our hearts is not ours. Our hearts are your property, and you're the only one that can keep our hearts clean. The hearts that we never be able to keep clean. So please take it, Father, and renew us with the Holy Spirit every day and each day. Thank you so much, Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins and cleansing us daily. And please bless those who are in need of healing in regard to sickness and spiritual healings. With the help of the Holy Spirit, thank you so much, Lord. And in Jesus Christ, our King, we pray. Amen.